All right, get your ankle monitors. Is that what Dan said? Well, it's always fun to have fun at church. Serving Jesus, loving Jesus should be fun. It should bring joy to your life. It should be full of smiles and laughter. And we should not look like we've been baptized in bad pickle juice. Right? We should be the joy of the world, because we know of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We know of the eternity that we have to look forward to in heaven because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So hopefully you're accused of being too happy or too much fun or too joyful, and it's because of the joy of the Lord overflowing out of your relationship with him, and it just comes out in your everyday life. Personally, I've been accused of being drunk several times because I was having so much fun and I was just enjoying life, because I believe Jesus when he says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And we should be enjoying every aspect of our lives, even chaperoning proms. Kathleen and I have done that for about 15 years. We didn't do it this year, but we go hang out with the kids and have a great time and show them how to have a good time without being drunk. And you can do that. It's practical. It's acceptable. And I've had people tell me, "Well, aren't you kind of old to be smiling this much?" Or aren't you kind of, which offended me because I don't feel I'm that old, although I'm feeling older. But the joy of the Lord should come out of us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. And it should be evident to all around. What's this guy got? What's this gal got that I don't? And it should cause them to question and wonder, what is so different about our lives than theirs? And should cause them to inquire, and then we get to share with them, "Let me tell you about my Jesus, who loved me so much that even when I was an enemy of his, even when I was living in sin, he died for me. He paid a price that I could never pay. He made a way possible that I cannot make possible on my own for me to get to eternity." And this is what our daily lives, in my opinion, should look like as believers in Christ Jesus. We should reflect the love of our amazing, awesome Heavenly Father. We should reflect the compassion and kindness and goodness of God in every situation that we would encounter, even when we're out hunting. Is that okay to show Jesus love when you're hunting? I think it is. Absolutely. I've titled today's message, Continued Growth. Continued growth. It's what we should be doing, should be striving for. We don't want to get stuck or paralyzed in a moment of life, whether it's a trauma, an abuse, a situation that was very painful, hurting, insulting, offensive to us. Sometimes we get stuck and paralyzed in that point of life. And sometimes it's on the other end of the spectrum, and it's with our accolades and our achievements, and we reach a pinnacle in what we thought was our greatest achievement, and we stop there, and we stop growing and developing in life. I brought a couple of my friends today, our houseplants, to help me illustrate some of my sermon today. But first of all, let's look at the Word of God and see what he says, some examples and direction, instruction from the Word of God. How do we grow and develop as believers in Christ Jesus? What's required of us? What's God asking of us? And what is his plan for growth in our lives? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people." So this is talking about the young boy Samuel that would eventually become the prophet Samuel. And it says, the boy Samuel continued to grow and develop, meaning he didn't stay where he was. Growth is a continued process. It's not something we hit the easy button and I automatically went from a boy to a man. It was a process and a journey of growing and developing habits, character. What should a man do? What shouldn't a man do? What does being a man look like? And probably if we asked the room, we would get several different definitions. We're not talking about that today, so I won't go down that road. But Samuel grew also in stature. Stature, what is our status? What does the community or your peer group around you say about you? What's your status in the community? What's your status in your family? What's your status, we'll bring it here, in your church family? But we should be growing and developing in that. And for myself, I grew up here. I was born into this body a couple years ago. Okay, maybe a few decades ago. And so some of you have had the, hopefully, pleasure of watching me grow and develop from changing my diapers. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that anymore? I know my parents are. But if we don't grow and develop, that's where we're at. We still need somebody to bottle feed us. We still need somebody to burp us and clean up our messes. We still need somebody to change our diapers. Spiritually speaking, it also looks like this. If we don't grow and develop and we're relying on everybody else to clean up our messes and take care of us and feed us, but we're supposed to continue growing and developing. So the boy Samuel grew in stature. So he grew in status of who he was in the community around him. You know, I used to just be a dumb punk kid, and probably nobody really listened to anything I had to say except for my friends that I would say, hold my beer and watch this. Aren't you glad that's not me anymore? I am. But that's where I was. That was my status at one point. That's who I was. Not a good status. And most people didn't care what I had to say. And most of what I had to say didn't have a lot of value. But I continued to grow and develop. And our status is our character, our morals, our values. And people begin to see and recognize that within us. And then hopefully at some point they recognize the change of Jesus Christ has entered his life. He's now not serving Arby, but he's serving his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's now not doing what Arby would normally do, but he's doing what Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, would have him do. And I got to that point eventually. Some of my friends would be like, you won't even come have a beer with us. You won't even come party with us. You won't even come drinking with us. And a lot of them wrote me off for a time, and it was very painful. Sometimes to have growth in our lives, we have to do some pruning of things in our lives. Some of that's intentional. We do ourselves. Some of that others will do to us. Some of that God does for us. We have to be okay with pruning, because I have this apple tree in my backyard and I haven't got to it yet this year. So like the lower end is what I've taken care of the last few years, and it's beautiful and there's blossoms everywhere and all the branches are going down or out and not up. All the ones that go up are called suckers, and they suck the life out of the rest of the tree and the fruit it's going to produce. And like my apple tree is a really bad example of our spiritual life. You don't want to look like my apple tree right now, because it's got a bunch of suckers. It's got a bunch of unnecessary growth that is producing nothing for the tree. It's only taking. And sometimes we're at that point in our lives where we allow a lot of things into our lives that are just sucking from us and draining from us and not giving life back. They're not producing the fruit, the growth that God has intended for us in our lives. Samuel also grew in favor with God and man. Do you know that you can grow in favor with God and man? You don't have to stay where you're at today in the amount of favor you incur from others or from God. But you can grow and develop in that. We're going to look at some passages of what God's word says about that. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one. Do you want to be blessed? We'll go easy. Who doesn't want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I want God's blessing on my life. I want his favor on my life. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. You might need to prune off some wicked things or wicked people or wicked habits or wicked entertainments from your life if you want to live a blessed life according to God's word. Or stand in the way that sinners take. If you want to be blessed, don't do that. Or sit in the company of mockers. If you want to be blessed, don't do it. But whoever delights in the law of the Lord, do you delight in the law of the Lord, his word, his direction, his governances for your life? And who meditates on his law day and night, who knows and understands and lives according to his word. That's how we walk in a blessing of the Lord, live a blessed life and gain his favor. The third part of that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. If you want to prosper in life under the blessing of the Lord, well, you can follow his principles and still prosper to a degree in life. Doesn't mean you gain the favor of the Lord. But this is for me, this is a pretty simple outline, a good place to start how I conduct my life. We're going to get into it a little more detail in a moment. So Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1 is the don't do's. Verse 2 is the do's. And verse 3 is the results of doing or not doing that. How is your growth in the blessing of the Lord? Is it increasing or is it diminishing? Machine. I love to walk in the blessing of the Lord, and I have many testimonies I could tell you about if we had more time. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This whole passage is titled Spiritual Fullness in Christ. So I would encourage you to go read it clear through verse 15, but we're just going to look at 6 and 7 right now. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Some more great instruction for our lives. Be rooted in Christ. You know, plants really matter what you put them in. You put them in just a bucket of gravel, they're not going to grow very well. If you get some good black dirt, they're going to thrive. Put them in a bucket of clay, probably not going to do very good. Be rooted in Christ. Be built up in him. Be strengthened in your faith and overflow with thankfulness. What are you rooted in? David talked a little bit about this before worship. Like, what are you plugging into? What are you taking in to your life? Because I like the old saying, you are what you eat. But what are you rooted in, grounded in? What's feeding your soul? What's feeding your heart? What's feeding your mind? The Word of God says to remain rooted in Jesus Christ, to be built up by Him. When I think of build up, I think of what do we add back to our soil if we're planting a garden or something? What do we add back to the soil to build it up, to make it healthy for the plants that grow there? But spiritually, what am I adding to my soul? What am I being built up with? Is it encouragement or discouragement? We were talking with some friends last night, and one of the gals there said, like, what's your news outlet? What do you pay attention to? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, like for world news or U.S. news, like, what do you watch or pay attention? I'm like, nothing. She goes, no, but what's your go-to? And I'm like, nothing. I'm like, I pay attention to local news. And she goes, wow, you must have a really easy life. Yeah. I'm like, well, no, but there's so much going on between Lewiston and Elk City, like, that occupies my mind and my prayer life and my space, like, God's got the rest of the world. I don't have to concern myself with that. He's got people all around the globe taking care of stuff. I've got a plate full right here in the Clearwater Valley. I've got enough. She goes, oh, I never thought about it that way. And she's like, but how much news do you watch every week? I said, zero. She goes, what? How do you know what's going on in the world? I said, I don't. And some of you might think I'm crazy, but I don't. Because if I watch news, I get bought into their agendas, and that feeds my soul, and it's usually negative, and then it gets me all amped up, and then I get anxious, and I get maybe even angry and fearful, and whatever emotions might come with whatever you're listening to, and it's not nourishment for my soul. It's not feeding me. It's firing me. And, like, God's got all that. If he puts on my heart, hey, Arby, I want you to go watch this, I'll go watch it. But until then, and I know for some people, God's asked you to do that, and that's part of your routine, and that's fine too. But for me, it doesn't feed my soul. And she goes, oh, well, I actually don't watch any either. I think she was setting me up. But what feeds your soul? You know what feeds my soul? To disappear into the mountains beyond cell range, to go for a walk with God, to hear the birds chirping, the squirrels chattering, the turkeys gobbling, hear the mushrooms growing. I'm not that in tune. I don't really hear mushrooms grow. But I can hear most of those other sounds. To hear bull elk screaming, praise the Lord in the mountains. That feeds my soul, and I get reconnected with my Creator and how awesome God is and how much He really, I think His creation is amazing. It blows my mind. But He says He cares so much more for me than all of what He's made. Me being you and I as individuals, He cares so much more for us. And it just makes all my worries go away and just like, God, you're so amazing. You're so big. You're so great. You have everything under your control. And I'm worrying about way too much of stuff out of my control. I need to refocus on what you've called me to do. The areas of my life you've asked me to grow. And I need to take care of what I can take care of and leave the rest to God. And part of that is our growth, is being able to take things off of our plate that we're trying to control and manage that aren't ours to control and manage. And sometimes, at least for me, I take on too much that isn't mine. And I have to go on my walk with God every week and say, Lord, this is yours, not mine. I have to sort the mail, if you will. Like, yours. Oh, just this one's mine. And then life gets a lot easier. Anybody else do that? You don't have to raise your hand, but man, life's good with God when we do things His way. And we grow and develop to where we get to that point we can release things to Him and not carry that weight, that stress, that anxiety that it's not ours to carry. That passage ends with, and overflow with thankfulness. You want to grow and develop in God? Go from where you're at today to an overflow of thankfulness. Anybody there? Just thank you, God, for this horrible situation I'm going through. I know I'm going to grow and develop through it. Thank you, God, for tragedy in my life. That would be an overflow of thankfulness. I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. And I'm quite thankful for a lot of things. But getting thankful for hardship is something I'm growing and developing in. Grow and develop in who God has created you to be. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, there's some great instruction in the Word. So in order to continue to grow in God, in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. And we could probably add American or foreigner, Democrat or Republican, or put some other words in there. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. There's a lot going on in that passage, but it's a pretty good list if I want to grow into the man that God has called me to be. I've got to get rid of some things. I've got to do some pruning. I've got to put some things to death. This beautiful little orchid right here. Like most of the year, it looks like a dead little stick with two green little leaves. And it's like, what's that thing doing? And then once a year, hopefully once a year, it blooms. These gorgeous little blooms. And they stay on for a really long time. But most of the year, you can't see what's going on. But apparently it can take a tumble out of the truck and still look good. It might have hit the parking lot on the way in this morning. Oops. Sometimes things happen, right? But most of the year you would look at this and like, why do you have that plant? It's like two green leaves and a dead stick. Growth looks different for each one of us. We're in different places. We're in different pots. Big pots, little pots, medium pots, giant pots. But it looks different for each one of us. And I don't get to judge your growth by my growth. And you don't get to judge my growth by your growth. Because we're not on the same track. We're not walking in the same shoes. We're not dealing with the same situations. But when I start doing that, I start coming in judgment and condemnation and I'm better than you or you're better than me. It can be self-righteousness or self-doubt. Either one's not good. But when I reflect and look at myself and say, God, where am I at today? Where was I at yesterday, a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago? And I'm responsible for my growth. You're responsible for your growth. This little plant could say, I have flowers and you don't. Shame on you. You're not growing. I don't think that one ever flowers. Not part of its growth plan. But if we turn it around, it has this bright yellow leaf that is dying. And we could say, that doesn't look good. My wife, when we got married, we would laugh that she had a black thumb. Every houseplant we ever got died. We had lots of plant funerals. This has been a joke in our marriage for decades. And over the last few years, she started collecting plants, and they've started living and thriving, and I don't know what's happened. She's matured. She's grown. She's experiencing growth in gardening. But she loves them, and she walks around and talks to them and tells me all about them. Look at this one. It has two new leaves today. And she's very excited about the growth and development of these plants. And then she sees a yellow leaf like this. She goes, oh, no, this plant's dying. I'm like, no, it's not dying. It's just part of its growth cycle. Like, trees, plants, they naturally lose leaves and needles and branches, and it's part of their pruning so they can continue growing to produce the best growth possible. And if we're not careful, we start looking at our own lives and, oh, I got a dead leaf and I'm no good. And or maybe God's just cutting something out of your life, pruning it off because he has a new season of growth ahead for you and you can't move there with this attached to you. And some of those seasons are more painful than others. Some of those seasons are celebrations. Like, that was a really thorny branch. I'm glad it's gone. But it all looks different. I got my wife this plant about this big. Maybe it's this big. It's a decent-sized plant, probably 3 years ago for Valentine's Day. And I thought, oh, this is a cute plant, and it's in a pot about this big. But you should always judge a plant by its pot because it's going to get big. And we have this cute little plant in our house, and one of her friends was over one day, and she goes, oh, what kind of plant is that? And I'm like, I don't know, that kind of plant. And so she has the little app on her phone, and she goes and takes a picture of the plant, and then it tells her what it is. And she goes, do you know what that is? I'm like, uh-uh. She's like, I forget what it was. But she's like, they grow to 60 feet tall. And their umbrella is up to 100 feet in circumference. I'm like, the plant can get bigger than our house. But because it's contained in this pot, it doesn't have the ability to get, although it's grown a lot since we got it, it's no longer a little plant, but it hasn't taken over the whole house yet. But this little orchid's never going to get that big. That's not God's plan and design for that orchid. Each of us are the same way different. Just like plants are very different, have different potentials and different growth plans for their lives, we too have different potentials and different growth plans for our lives and what God's doing inside of us and what he wants to draw out of us. But just remaining focused on, God, what do you want to do in me? God, what do you want to prune out of my life? God, where do you want to work in me? This list in Colossians chapter 3 is a pretty good one to start with. Like, put to death all these things of our flesh nature and live in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living within us. Walk in God's plan for our lives. Colossians is a great book. You should read the whole thing. It's like filled with just powerful statements and verses of how to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. You should read the whole thing. So as we summarize this passage, Colossians 3, 5 through 15, put to death in your life things that are not of God. The sin in our life is what God's wrath is meant for. His wrath is not meant toward us. But if we don't accept Christ and his forgiveness of our sins, it is for us. Jesus Christ came to separate us from sin so God's wrath could punish sin and not us. The punishment was already on Jesus for our sin. He paid for it all. Don't walk in the way you used to walk before you met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God has a better plan for your life. Rid yourself of bad habits. Rid yourself of ungodly ways. Rid yourself of that which leads to death and destruction. Do not lie to one another. Put on the new self in the knowledge and the image of your Creator, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. You are chosen, you are holy, and you are loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Put on love in perfect unity. Let Christ's peace rule inside of you and be thankful in everything you do. That's what he calls us to. Continue to grow and develop. I was talking to this young man yesterday, and he was turkey hunting, and he was telling me about his morning and telling me the best time to go turkey hunting. And of course, he knows I've also been a hunting guide for the last 25 years. And I tried to give him, I even said it this way. I said, let me give you a little insider pro tip. And I gave him some turkey hunting knowledge that I've found very effective and useful over the years. He goes, yeah, but that doesn't work. This is how you do it. I was like, okay. Sometimes to grow and develop, we need someone wiser than us to come speak into our lives. But we have to be willing and humble enough to receive the wisdom given to us. We can't be a know-it-all, can't be a show-it-all, which is fine. If people don't want my advice, I've got lots of things to do. But in our spiritual lives, we should have some spiritual mothers and fathers who we can call on and say, hey, I'm navigating this road I've never been down before, and I don't know what to do at this juncture. Can you speak into this situation? Give me some advice. Give me some counsel. Will you spend some time in prayer and see what the Holy Spirit would say? Give me some guidance, because I've never been on this mountain before. So be willing to take advice from a guide. Be willing to take advice from someone who's walked in a place you haven't walked before. Seek out counsel. Seek out advice. Of course, first of all, seek the Holy Spirit, because he knows all and's been all. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. Help me. Guide me. Direct me. Grow and develop. I'm going to close with one last story. I'm going to let you get back to your lives. Think about helping with highway cleanup. Most of you know I coach high school baseball. And so we try to be much more than just teaching fundamentals of baseball, but we want to help to create amazing young men with good character and habits and skills and abilities for much more than baseball, but also life. Like how do you interact and treat other people? How do you be a decent human being and respectful citizen of society? How do you contribute and give back to a place that's given to you? And so lots of those things go on. And we had a doubleheader Friday night, and it was a couple of rough games, and I had a bad attitude. And after the game, I was pretty harsh with the students and, of course, went home and reflected on it. I was like, you know, that, like, what really bugged me? What was really going on inside of Arby? And after I thought about it, I thought, you know, I was just frustrated because we didn't play up to our potential. I believe our team is a wonderful team, an amazing team. I believe we have the talent and ability to be state champions this year. And in that game, we did not show that. And in that game, we didn't play up to our ability. So I was bummed for the kids, bummed for us as coaches. And like, we can do better. But in our post-game meeting that night, I did not reflect that to them. I reflected my frustrations, my not happy with your performance tonight. And I didn't feel I left them with a good taste in their mouth. And they probably didn't think anything of it, maybe. But I felt that I needed to apologize to them. The next day, we had another doubleheader. And so part of that is modeling. Like, when you screw up, how do you fix it? Part of that is modeling to them how we do that as men or as women if you're coaching a women's sport. And so at the end of the game the second day, you know, we were in our post-game meeting and we played great and we crushed both games that we played that day. It was senior day, so it was a super fun day. Got to celebrate our 6 seniors on the team. And so at the end of the game, I was like, look, guys, basically I was a jerk yesterday, you know. I was very upset at the end of the game. I wasn't happy, and I don't believe I reflected well my true feelings toward you of how I feel about you. And so I was able to convey, you know, what I feel about them and who I see them as, and it was the lack of not playing up to our potential that bugged me. And I was like, oh, okay. But when you mess up, like, go apologize. Say you're sorry. That's part of growth in us, is owning our mistakes, saying I'm sorry, looking them in the eye, saying I'm sorry, and then moving on. Let's do better next time. I'll do better as a coach. You do better as a player. Let's go get a state title. And that's what I intend to do over the next couple of weeks. So I know that the rest of the coaching staff and our players want that as well. We're going to do everything we can to make it happen. Yeah, what's God working on in you? Where do you need to grow and develop? Ask yourself that question this week. What's God working on in you? I could give you probably days worth of different areas that God has worked and developed on me. Arby, you're a horrible husband. Fix it. Do better. Arby, you're not being a good father right now. Fix it. Do better. Arby, you're not being a good pastor right now. Fix it. Do better. God and I have had many of those conversations over the years. I'm not perfect by any means, but I do want to continue to grow and develop into God, who God has created me to be. And I hope and pray that for each one of you, that you would continue to grow and develop into the man, the woman that God has called you to be, that you can reach your full growth potential. Amen. Let's say a quick prayer here, and then we'll finish with announcements. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you are so patient and kind with us. God, that you give us opportunity, God, to come before you again and again and repent of our wrongs. God, that we could be made in right standing with you. And we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who paid the debt of our sin on the cross. We thank you so much that you loved us so much. And God, we just ask that you would show us the areas of our life, God, that you're calling us to grow and develop. God, you're calling us to improve. And God, that we would continue striving for that growth in our lives. God, that we would continue, God, staying rooted in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. God, that we would continue fertilizing and nurturing our lives through the knowledge of your word. God, through relationship and time with you. And God, we ask that you would cause us to recognize those areas of our lives that need pruned. And God, being okay with letting go. God, we just ask that you'd use us for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.